Today, we are back with more Million Dollar Pages. Our Million Dollar Pages series continues. A huge auction just ended at Heritage Auctions this past weekend, and we're going to go through some of the huge surprises because there were many surprises to be had in that auction. Bronze Age, Silver Age, big time showing, Million Dollar Pages. In our first chapter, we discussed the five pieces that have gone for over $1 million in the last couple years. I'm going to tell you today what I believe is up next, is on deck as being Million Dollar Pages when they find their way to auction, if they ever find their way to auction. We discuss that and so much more on an all-new episode of Robservations. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Robservations. I am your host, Rob Liefeld. I have been making comic books for 40 years, crossed five decades. I write them, I draw them, I ink them, I produce them, I've even printed them. My passion is comic books. We talk comic books, we talk superheroes, we talk all of the different platforms that they have been completely exploited on in the best possible way, on your video game console, on your handheld games, your streaming services, your blockbuster movies. And none of those happen without comic books. None of those comic book platforms carry anything comic book without comic books and the wonderful world of comic book creators. I have been just honored to serve the comic book world as a comic book creator for those 40 years. And I have been so fortunate to meet every single one of my idols, the gurus who taught me, who informed me as I got into this business. And what we do here is we talk comic books, we talk creators, we talk different events that comic books are responsible for, which is where you get into your movies and your streaming and all that other stuff. We're not a gossip site. Occasionally, I'll tell you an interesting bit of news if I think it rises to the occasion. But if so many of you who are tuning in for maybe the first, second, third time, there's an entire catalog of over 350 episodes. I started from my first connection with buying comic books on a monthly basis when I was able to afford at a quarter a pop, 25 cents a pop. 1975 is when it became a regular addiction for me. My passion overcame me. And comics, I bought more comics than I bought anything. I would save money and not buy a candy bar or buy less at the hot lunch at school. So I'd have more coins in my pocket, more money in my pocket to get home and buy comic books on the way home. Because on the way home, I would pass three different outlets. And so there were always options. I could never afford all of the comic books on the spinner racks and on the shelves. But over my youth, 7 years old, 1974 is when I started trading for comics, and they were sparse, and I had to kind of negotiate. My parents let me get them, but famously, my barbershop, my barber at my little barbershop, which I revisited last year to go back and see if it's still there. It's under new management. Fred has long since passed us. Fred the Barber traded Fantastic Four 147 for my Richie Rich and my Casper the Ghost comic books, and it put a smile on my face that I've been wearing for 50 years. Okay, 50 years, 1974, 2024. So welcome to Robservations. We love all things comic books, all things comic book creators. One of the topics that we started, and today we're going to follow up on, is Million Dollar Pages. Million Dollar Pages. Yes, your original comic book art is worth something. It is absolutely valued at possibly, likely, greater than you believe it to be. Now, depending on the auction, depending on the condition, sometimes you're not going to get that maybe magical number, that sparkle. I've seen people who have asked, who have expected a little too much from their auction. So you got to balance it in there, but there's always going to be several that exceed everyone's possibilities, maybe ones that you didn't see coming. And in our first installment of Million Dollar Pages, a couple episodes back, Million Dollar Pages, we absolutely highlighted the five pages in the last decade that have gone for $1 million and greater. Now, there's a Frank Frazetta painting in there that was a cover to a comic book magazine, okay? We're talking $5 million. There's an interior three-quarter splash page. A splash page is a giant single image. So a three-quarter means that three-quarters of the page is a giant single image. The first time within the context of the Secret Wars miniseries that introduced the concept of the symbiote, what we would later go on to know and be introduced to as Venom, that page garnered over $3 million. Garnered over $3 million. Incredibly, unbelievably. It was a giant yield. But again, we went down and went over the five different pieces of art that made $1 million, over $1 million. Again, the top there is five and is three, and it's crazy. And you absolutely should be astonished and impressed that some lines on paper that commemorated this, as we've talked here so often, this childlike notion of comic books, those are kids' things. Well, they're a lot more valuable than you thought they were, for sure. Maybe not more valuable than you can possibly imagine, because we can all possibly imagine a lot, but ooh, baby, $1 million pages. And so today, we're going to talk about kind of the results of an auction that just happened. There was an auction last weekend. We're going to look at those results, and then we are going to look into the future, and we are going to speculate, because that's what we do. We love to speculate on everything. What I believe, what your host here believes, will be the next batch, if they ever make it to auction, if they ever make it to market, of $1 million pages. As I mentioned just last week, a week before this show, and it was coming, we were headed towards it at the first installment of $1 million pages. There was another, the April Heritage Auction. I believe there's another one in June. They are becoming more and more frequent. Heritage isn't alone. There's Comic Link. There's Comic Connect, just off the top of my head. So many of these other different auction houses, and everybody gets the catalogs. And let me tell you what me and my friends do. We get the catalog, and immediately we're texting, we're calling, we're exchanging. And I know so many of you out there are doing the same thing. You're speculating. You're wondering. I think this is going to go for this. A lot of surprises, a lot of surprises in the April auction. I mean, really, some stunners, some flat out stunners. And you know, we didn't get another $1 million sale, but we got close. And there was nothing in there that anyone even remotely thought was going to do in some of the highest levels that some of these pages went for. I'm going to break them down for you and show you where things just completely exceeded expectations. Each auction is different. Each kind of period, each season is different. And I'm going to tell you this, the one prevailing notion for this last auction was something that had been on the rise the last, I'd say, 2 years, solid 2 years, kind of building, going, kind of leveled off. And that is the 90s era of art. There wasn't a lot of great selections, but couple of Todd McFarlane Spider-Man pages were the most affordable, and there was good shots of Spider-Man on them, really good shots. The most affordable Todd McFarlane Spider-Man pages that he inked himself. See, I have friends, they don't want anything that isn't inked by Todd. Some of them don't want anything that is inked by Todd. They like Todd with other inkers. It runs the entire gamut, okay? These pages, everything from the 90s, there was an incredibly affordable double pager from that Fantastic Four run that I think is like Jim Lee's second best body of work. This incredible shot of the Thing breaking through a wall, a double pager. And I'm going to double check and circle back, but I believe that double pager, a giant poster that could be hanging on your wall, was a $9,000 $9,000 winning bid was placed on it, which was a little shocking, which was kind of the great flashing signal that this was not that the 90s fever, at least this time around, had abated somewhat. And I think my what if page, I had a what if page from 89, so not 90, but everyone told me it went cheaper than they thought. It's a beautiful page. I not only penciled the hell out of that thing, Scott Williams inked the hell out of it. It was a beautiful page. Also went, I believe, under, I think it went for about 10. Nick Fury, Wolverine are on it. I think Black Widow's in the background. Did not go for what people thought. And in all honesty, kicking myself that I didn't make a run for it. Because I also was of the opinion, I didn't see it. I was not around during that section. I thought it was going to go for a little higher. But the benchmarks of the 90s were down from previous shows. So that's just a fact. Now, does that mean anything? It doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that this time around, it was Bronze and Silver Age bangers. The Bronze and Silver Age roared back, and they had a giant moment in this last Heritage auction. Checking on the past and most recent auctions in November of 2023, so just 6 months back, a Todd McFarlane interior page, it has kind of a three-quarter splash, but sold for $79,000. A bunch of them this time around, two of them, sold in the $22,000 and the $30,000. You're like, Liefeld, those are still expensive. They are. That is expensive. That is a lot. But as I look, these prices fluctuate. And even that Fantastic Four Jim Lee double page splash that sold for $8,700 was actually up from 2015 when it sold for $2,000. So there's your upward trajectory right there. The Todd prices are among the most affordable they have been, but I see an Eric Larson Spider-Man page that sold 9 months ago in June 2023 for $27,000. So look, 90s art, I guess we could say that some of it's cooling, but generally the interior art of the Secret Wars Mike Zeck black costume Spider-Man page was the giant outlier. I mean, $3 million. More than $3 million. So anyway, the 90s art had a fever pitch there. There was a bunch of great pages. Todd did his entire, maybe it's Spider-Man 14. Is that the number of the all sideways issue, the crossover with X-Force? Those pages did just phenomenal. And that'd be about a year and a half ago. And maybe that was around the peak. An interior Jim Lee X-Men page has sold for $360,000. It is like one of the top three Wolverine shots he did in his entire career, but you had watching it happen in real time. That was two people who just did not want to cry uncle. And when you get that fever pitch bidding war going, that is when you're going to have these incredible results. And again, you're like, Liefeld, do you really just sit and watch these auctions? You bet I do those days when I can catch them, if I'm around. Some of them in the summer, I'm traveling, I can't catch them. But certainly April was ready, set, go, excited, and just was curious about the state of the marketplace and what it indicated and how it, I'm gonna try not to go into Serge's voice from Beverly Hills Cop, how it pertains to what is coming next. It was a Bronze and Silver Age extravaganza. That's really what it was all about. And the one that got all the buzz, stole the show, Don Hex, Tales of Suspense, number 39, Iron Man origin page. This is how it read in the auction. Story page, number 9, original art, Marvel 1963, a page from one of the foundational stories of the Marvel Universe. Tony Stark has just survived a jungle booby trap and helped create a complete suit of power armor in just a matter of days. So now he has a crisis of faith. This shows Tony Stark getting ready to be Iron Man for the very first time ever. On the prior page, we only saw him stand up and walk, and now we see the powers in the suit being welded. The twice-up scale page was created on ink and graphite on Bristol board with an image area of 12.5 inches by 18.5 inches. The toned board has pinholes in the corners and a crease in the upper right marginal corner. Very good condition. You guys, this page went for $552,000. Yes, over $500,000. $552,000 is the hammer price, the price required, the price paid to obtain this page. It is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 panel page by Don Heck, a career landmark benchmark for certain. This one went for all the juice, and it was exciting because there's always some lingering. Like, is someone going to take that? Is someone going to take it and put it in the 122? Oh, crap. It's over 120. Now it's 240. Now it's 3. It was an incredible thing to watch. Now, Ironman, would this have even been as big a thing 10 years ago? No, the prices are all going up. As I said, the Todd prices have leveled into this. You can get a great page like these ones, which were in the, let me correct, 26,000 range and the 30,000 range. There were pages that were going for the 78s and the 80s and in the hundreds, not so long ago, but you're still, again, you go, Liefeld, you're talking about buying cars. I know. This is, you can buy a car or you can buy a page of art. I mean, literally, but this incredible page signifying the origin of Iron Man. Now, has this been helped by the increased profile of Iron Man over the last, 15 years? Of course it has. How is it not? Robert Downey Jr. is now the default go-to. Unlike Batman, where we see 6 actors, unlike Superman, where we see 4 or 5, we just see Tony Stark. That's it. I'm sorry. I just called Robert Downey Jr. Tony Stark. We just see Robert Downey Jr. I should just say RDJ. RDJ, as he is now known. And if you've noticed now, Oscar award winner, and deservedly so. Fantastic, amazing, next level character work, craft. Just that he was so good in Oppenheimer, and now he's an Academy Award winning actor. It was such a delight to watch him just sidebar dance on the red carpet, knowing that he's being recognized. And I think it really matters to him outside of his Marvel roles. I really do believe he has always been fantastic. We have all, those of us who are as old as I am, grew up watching Robert Downey Jr. happen in John Hughes films. And then, take it to the next level. And from Chaplin and from Zodiac, all of his incredible character work, comedic work. I mean, I loved him on that one season of Ally McBeal when he was basically in acting rehab and then explodes again with Iron Man, but it's a superhero. And then it kind of becomes, are you these characters? Entertainment Weekly did a cover. Like, it's the characters that matter. It had Optimus Prime, it had Shrek, Iron Man, Spider-Man. Like, if you're not a character, you don't matter and you're not getting work in Hollywood. That was the message for about 10, 15 years. So now he's extra delighted that he can break out, and he's now, since doing this podcast, he said I'd come back in a heartbeat because he has so much affection, because he appreciates. Iron Man is now so identifiable with blockbuster $100 million films and as Robert Downey Jr. starring as him. And so he has been elevated to the Uber A-list, which, again, there's a podcast that you're going to find in my library. When Wall Street told everybody, don't invest in Marvel, these are C and D list characters. Iron Man, Captain America, Thor were deemed by the financial markets, by Barron's, by Wall Street Journal, by the street, by the markets as D list characters. No more. Not any longer. We didn't think that. You and I didn't think that. But the market said that Spider-Man, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and the Hulk were the A-listers. Everything else is way below. Well, Marvel showed them. Marvel proved them. Marvel came out flexing, super strong, and has the results. And now this art, Don Heck art on The Flash, Don Heck art on Justice League are not going to grab these dollars. This is a significant moment of time, an origin page, and those matter as what we get into soon about future million-dollar pages. Other standouts from this auction. There was a Frank Miller interior page, because as John Byrne X-Men pages have erupted over the last 10 years, and now you're getting one or two of them per auction, it seems, Frank Miller's really were not as prevalent. They were not in anywhere the same supply. And so when they come out to play, boy, are they getting some action. Do you know that I had told myself bravely, hey man, I'm willing to go to $70,000 on this page. Well, I'm sure a lot of people were. That was the one that kind of shocked everybody, going way over market value. Frank Miller's Daredevil interior page was a shocker. The Frank Miller page in question is a page from Daredevil 174. It's a great page. Got Executioner. I mean, got a great issue. Got a lot of great fun stuff. Executioner, Electra is in it, but not on this page. It is just Daredevil battling ninjas on crates. And it's a great action shot. He's flipping up with a kick as he comes down in the next few panels to battle these ninjas. It's a great page. Penciled by Frank Miller. Finished, inked by Mr. Klaus Janson. What a team. This interior page sold for $144,000. This was the... Ooh, okay. Well, I'm out of that marketplace. And you're like, Liefeld, these are crazy numbers. They are. And trust me, I re-examine every single auction. What am I willing to go on? Now, I have a wife who says, these are great investments. You know, look at the rate this stuff is accruing. In some ways, this is just as good as stocks. Okay, wow. Joy Liefeld, she's on board. We're doing this. But when this exploded, at the time this went live, it was at $40,000. It added another 100 in back and forth bids. Like I said, I was out faster than you can say, see ya. And I'm like, as much as I love Frank Miller, oh boy, this is going to heights. I did not anticipate $144,000 for an interior page. So then next up was the Daredevil 190 cover, which has Daredevil's face kind of gasping in shock as Elektra is being kind of reanimated. That went for $252,000, a great price. I guarantee you, when this cover was purchased, it wasn't even 50% of that price, possibly not even 70%. I'm going to guess that at the time of this, it was anywhere in the low thousands to maybe 10. So to get a return on this at 252, and I'm talking the first, okay? I've been the guy. Look, I bought a Dark Knight page as part of a collection of four other pieces of art, a couple sketches, and not by Frank Miller, just another artist, and another interior page, and this. I did it for $500. I ended up selling that interior page 3 years later of Frank Miller for $10,000. It was part of a four-page deal for $500, and it resold just the Dark Knight interior page. So I've seen those kind of upswings. I've seen those kind of payoffs. So they exist, and at $252,000 for a Daredevil cover is incredible. The other a Steve Ditko Amazing Spider-Man page is a giant price of $114,000. Some have pointed out to me that it originally sold for $133,000, which is a bit of a drop, but still is maintaining a giant value. $114,000 is a really generous value on this. Lots of other standouts throughout the show. Maybe the biggest being another page from the symbiote Spider-Man, but not from Secret Wars. We're gonna cover this page and then pivot on from this auction, because this is the last great snapshot of what's going on, and again, how the Bronze and Silver Age are blowing up. Again, the Frank Miller stuff, Bronze Age, the Don Heck Silver Age. You've got Steve Ditko Silver Age, and then here, really the throes, the middle of the Bronze Age of comics, mid-80s, Ron Frenz and Brett Beating. There was a page of theirs from Amazing Spider-Man number 252, and it is the story, a page from the story that was the first appearance of the black costume. Again, he would get the black costume in Secret Wars, but all the heroes were already back from their year-long venture away in the story that Secret Wars contains. They're spirited off, and they're spirited back into their own books, but Secret Wars tells the year that they were gone. But, you know, Marvel's not going to stop publishing comics during that time, so they were publishing it. And so the black costume arrived on Spider-Man before he would find it in the time lapse of us realizing Secret Wars. So he had it, and it was a giant deal that Spider-Man was wearing a new costume, but he had to buy Secret Wars to find out where he got it from. And so this page, a multi-paneled page, and a really nice page. Ron Frenz, Brett Breeding. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 page of when Spider-Man drops outside of his apartment, walks inside, and the symbiotic costume removes itself from Peter Parker. It's a really great storytelling page. It went for $174,000. Easily a high for Ron Frenz and Brett Breeding. Maybe not Brett Breeding, maybe those Death of Superman pages, but Ron Frenz, I believe this is going to represent a high in regards to something that he illustrated. It is it also entered and went crazy. In the live auction is when it went to six figures and beyond. And when you were watching people, boom, 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 boom. Now, I told you in the first part of this, in the first $1 million pages, I told you that it is widely believed that the tech bros and the crypto bros were responsible for that Secret Wars 7 first symbiote page going for over 3 million. You had to believe maybe somebody is either trying to track and going, hey man, if one page with Spider-Man's costume early on went for this, then I'm getting a deal here. Or maybe it was another of the crypto bro, the tech money coming in to kind of finish the job. You just didn't know. You just never know. There was some wonder about how this page would do, but again, far exceeded anyone's expectations. I guarantee you whoever had this, the first time it changed hands, it was probably in the hundreds. The second time, maybe a couple thousand max. To sell for $174,000 is nothing shy of phenomenal. So the bronze stuff and the Silver Age was the giant flexes of the show, without a doubt. Absolutely just incredible. 90s art, a little bit soft, but is it soft forever? Not a chance. You're going to hear a couple of them are going to be my picks in regards to $1 million pages. Now, I have stated that one of the great discussions that came about with the $1 million pages. One of the great discussions is when Mr. Joseph Loeb III from Hush, from Red Hulk, from Cap White, from Daredevil Yellow, from Long Halloween, from Dark Victory, Jeff's an all-timer, okay? Sits down at our annual sushi meal with about seven or eight of us that we've been doing for at least 13 years. Maybe longer. I'm trying to think. 2000. Ooh, we're coming up on 20. What am I thinking? We've been doing this a long time. About 5-6 years ago, Jeff sat down and said, "So, what do we think? We think Wolverine coming out of the sewer. You know, you think that's a $1 million page?" He is referencing the all-important X-Men issue that shocked the world, all of us. When Wolverine had been, his gravity had increased. Now, given that he had an adamantium, you know, skeleton, the Hellfire Club that he was facing off against, I think it was Leland, not sure, had increased his mass, and he fell through all the different floors of the mansion, into the streets, through the street, through the concrete, into the sewers. We thought he was a goner, but the last page, he emerges, and it's the greatest shot of Wolverine of all time. It is the single greatest shot of Wolverine. Even though it's an interior page, it's the single greatest shot of Wolverine of all space and time. And Jeff Loeb wanted to know, is that a $1 million page? This incredible shot, this incredible panel. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I love to do this. I had picked up X-Men 132 from a 7-Eleven on the way in Buena Park, on the way to my friend Kenneth Pledger's house. They had the big pool. They had the big house. They were the big banger. Shirley and CD and Keith was my sister's age and Kenneth was my age. Our moms were best friends to the very end. They have both since passed. But Kenneth had the swank badass house, had the water beds, had the pool. When we got invited for any function, we were so excited. But this is a school night. And I was meeting my folks over at the Pledger's after practice, and Mr. Pledger had grabbed both of us, Kenneth and myself, and we stopped at a 7-Eleven on the way back. I saw the new issue of the X-Men. I grabbed it. Mr. Pledger, when we got to his house, he had a den. He had a den that he would hang out in. He had a cool kick-ass recliner that he would recline on. This is 1980. I'm in junior high, and he exits. Kenneth goes up to his room. My mom's talking to Mrs. Pledger in the kitchen, and I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to sit in Mr. Pledger's badass recliner, this big, giant leather. I was fairly close to being as tall as I am now. I was an early, you know, shooter upper, and then everybody and their mother passed me, and I realized that I'm quite short. But so it didn't engulf me, but man, I felt like a man. I'm sitting in Mr. Pledger's leather recliner, and I got my copy of my X-Men at 132. And 15 minutes later, my jaw hit the floor, and if I had had a diaper, I would have filled it. Because this shot of Wolverine coming up from the sewer caught me completely unaware, did not see it coming, was just as a generation, just blown away by the imagery. Because comics is about imagery first, foremost, and always. And this is the greatest shot of Wolverine in my mind, in my generation's mind. I think Jim Lee would tell you it's probably his favorite shot too. Uncanny X-Men number 132, last page, kind of a half splash. It is just, and Wolverine's dialogue on this panel, and he says, okay, suckers, you've taken your best shot. Now it's my turn. The water, the sewer water is coming off of him. It's such a killer shot. It's so killer. So I'm going to go with Jeff Loeb, because last year at a table where I was seated at a different dinner with other giant high rollers, we determined there's a lot of pages that are going to go to the seven figures from this Austin, Burn Austin run if they make it to market. This is one of them. This is a $1 million page. I would bet my entire studio and my collection on it. This one makes it to market. It is a seminal moment, and for everyone, their favorite John Byrne Wolverine shot, this last page to issue 132. And I just remember, again, just sitting there, because what I didn't tell you about the den, it was lit by one lamp at that point. And again, facing the big TV, they had the nicest TV. We really loved the Pledgers. They were just the coolest people. But man, I can't imagine what you were thinking if you were there in 1980. Where were you seated? What were you doing? Were you in the back seat of the car? You know, it was just a shock to experience this. Another I'm now forecasting what I believe to be a bevy of. Now, I'm not going to give you all of them because there's so many. But I think surefire shots. The other is the covered X-Men 141. I have been informed by other all-time bangers with more money than all of us that they're going to seven figures on that cover if it ever came up to bid. That is going to be an auction for the ages. I imagine 141 would go over 2 million and kiss 3 million. It is my favorite cover of any comic book of all time. And it is my favorite X-Men cover. It is my favorite X-Men story. That shot of Wolverine up against the wall, old Wolverine with the gray temples, protecting Kitty Pryde and all the X-Men dead or wanted on the poster behind him, is just an extraordinary piece of illustration. It's an extraordinary illustration. So much is going on. The Wolverine, one of the best Logan faces that John Byrne ever drew, that anyone has ever drawn. The jacket, the kind of the bomber jacket, the claws bared. It was such a shock to see. Again, I've turned the bend at the U-Totem. U-Totem was like a 7-Eleven. There was 7-Eleven knockoffs in Southern California. The U-Totem, the Stop and Go, all of them were knockoffs of the 7-Eleven marketplace. But U-Totem was the one that when I moved, when I was 9 years old and we moved to a different part of Anaheim, this U-Totem and another supermarket, Foodland, one was two blocks ahead of me and one was two blocks behind me. And I frequented them 2 to 3 times a week. When I turned the bend, you didn't know what was coming out. We've talked about it here. The beauty of this age of comics is there was no catalogs. And there was certainly no advertisement for this cover. Marvel kept it under wraps. Many times you didn't know what was happening in the comics until you turned the bend. You turned around the counter at this U-Totem. They were on shelves, no spinner rack. They were on three long shelves that they would put about 8 comics across on each of them. And there it was, Days of Future Past, X-Men 141. What the hell? Had to have it. Went back, bought more copies. Just needed as many copies of that comic as I possibly could have had. If you were the guy that was getting your comic books from U-Totem and you didn't get them because Robbie Liefeld got greedy because he had to have that piece of art in multiple formats, in multiple editions, I'm sorry, I apologize now for making that happen in 1980, but what the hell? What? Unbelievable. Just flat out, absolutely phenomenal cover and that thing, that ever goes to market, I'm going to actually say sky's the limit. I think $2 million is probably too cheap. I think if the Dark Knight number one cover came for that, because Dark Knight was a piece of a separate, giant, celebrated, critically acclaimed project, no doubt. But this is just a different part of X-Men lore. It is the sweet spot for so many. I literally was like, I'm going to bid on that. And then more, quite fabulously more wealthy men that I could imagine being said, oh, I'm bidding on that too. And that's what I'm like, maybe in your dreams, you can dream about having that. Now, so many of these pages are in collections. And as I've shared here before, and it's not a secret in the community, that Terry Austin, famously like Walt Simonson, has hung on to all his artwork. Terry has at least 7 pages of every issue. And presumably one of every 3 covers. That's how it was. That's how you divvied it up. Terry presumably has this cover. He may have that page. That page of Wolverine coming out of the sewer. People have told Terry, myself included, he is sitting on one of the richest gold mines of original art in our business. It is fantastic. So put X-Men 141 down right next to it. Now you guys are going to say, well, what about 137? Okay, let's have that conversation. Is that getting to a million? Maybe. Wolverine is key. Wolverine is key for X-Men artwork with a lot of collectors, myself included. I try and focus on pages that are heavy on Wolverine, that he's in more than 2 panels. And if I'm going to go for a non-X-Men panel, a non-Wolverine X-Men page, it's got to be some exceptional drawing in a moment that I just absolutely love to fork it out. And so Wolverine is a big factor. Wolverine, as you know, is not on the cover to 137, but could he get there? Sure, he could. Absolutely. Those are 1,000% candidates. So many of the X-Men covers. I know a guy. I'm not going to say which cover he has. He used to evaluate his cover in the 450. He told me a year back he is upping his insurance on it to 750, possibly 800, and he has every reason to do it. Is Wolverine on that cover? It is. Wolverine is on this cover. I won't say the cover, but this collector is. I think well within his means to get that thing insured and maybe now a year and a half later, he's gone up even more. So these Byrne Austin X-Men covers, let's just bundle them. There's a couple of them, but the surefire, the one that is for sure, certain, exceeding 7 figures is X-Men 141. If I had to pick an interior, it's Wolverine coming out of the sewers. I'm going to jump us closer to the modern age with this next selection. I believe it's 1977. I'm sorry, 1987. It could be 1988. It is pre-90s, but I'm not sure there is a cover that will fetch more. And the story behind this is a little weird. I believe it was given as a gift. I don't have that on record. It is the story I've been told multiple times. It was given as a gift, but I believe if the cover to Hulk 141 by one Mr. Todd McFarlane, the original Hulk reflection in Wolverine's claws. We've seen so many of them. I have shared with you how much I love this cover, the raw energy, the rage coming off of Wolverine's face, not only Wolverine, but also the Hulk screaming back at him. It is just my absolute favorite Todd McFarlane image, and I'm not alone. And what's another common denominator? It's Wolverine on the cover, but this has got Todd, it's got Wolverine, it's got Hulk. It is iconic, iconic, iconic. I would bet my bottom dollar and so much more that this is a $1 million cover. It enters the market and it goes, because we're at the stage where now when a lot of these pieces are going to get bought, they are from people who have these careers or their investments have paid off. I mean, their career investments, their financial investments, the 50, 60-year-old crowd, the late 40s, they've been lawyers, they've been doctors, they've been producers. They've got a lot of money to spend on their favorite toys, and why shouldn't they? You know, let's celebrate the spending of let's celebrate the collecting of the toys, because on some level we all do it. Maybe it's a Shogun Warrior, maybe it's a $6 million man doll that looks like Lee Majors vintage. Maybe it's one of the latest Sideshow statues. You know, we all are doing it in some way or another. Hulk 340. Did I say 140? I'm sorry. Hulk 340. Hulk 340 is going for $1 million. I guarantee it. When it makes its way out, it is going to net a serious crazy ass yield. Now, this next one, you're going to go, Liefeld, you're such a self-indulgent asshole. Be that as it may. Be that as it may. I'm going to tell you that I know that this is a million-dollar cover because I've been offered $1 million for it. The cover to New Mutants 98, the first appearance of Deadpool, Domino, and say it again, Gideon, has become an iconic image. The first issue that I wrote and drew, the New Mutants, introduced all these new characters because I'm like, I gotta prove that Marvel did the wise thing gambling on me. That I want to prove to them that the promise that I showed with Cable, there's so much more behind it. That book was blowing up before there was a movie, and now let's go back to Robert Downey Jr. portraying, you know, Tony Stark. After Deadpool 2, after the first opening weekend of Deadpool 2, Deadpool was a billion-dollar movie franchise with the grosses of the opening weekend along with the lifetime gross, the nearly $700+ million of the original. It was at $1 billion. Now, as Deadpool Wolverine looms, it's going to go way past this. I'm going to guarantee you Deadpool is a $2 billion film franchise. The merchandising, the statues, the sideshow, the incredible expensive hot toys, the Hasbro figures, the Funko Pops. Deadpool hasn't left us for the last decade. He was in Minimates and little Legos and part of the Lego game. I've told you guys about the head of the studio that called me to see if I could help unlock Deadpool from the Lego game because he was the end game. If you finished the game, you got him. He was unlockable. Well, I need to remind you that came out years before the film. Okay. So, and all of the different video games, because I've gone on record, Deadpool connected with an entire audience beyond comic books because of the amount of video games he was in year after year, leading up to his own game in 2014, his own R-rated raunch fest video game that I got in trouble having my kids play to show me the different levels. There's an episode on that. I'm sure you can find it. I did a 5-part creating of Deadpool episode series, 5 episodes. You can go back. I think it kicked off our second season. They're in the library. I would so advise all your questions to Deadpool are answered. I just walk you through my journey. This piece of art, this summer alone, is coming out on a foil. It's coming out on a 3D. Marvel's doing a brand new foil edition of 98, which they hadn't done yet domestically. They're doing a 3D. It's launching their 3D program. And they're doing another facsimile reprint. And it's already been in so many trade paperbacks, hardcover collections. There's millions of these. And that it comes as a result of demand. I have been contacted, told, I have $1 million to buy your cover for you, from you right now. I said, I do not have it. I know the gentleman who does have it has confirmed he has also turned down 7 figures for New Mutants 98. So at least give me that I know what I speak of here because I have been offered 7 figures for a cover I no longer have. And the proud owner is probably looking at greater than $1 million if he ever puts it up for auction, but he probably won't. And if you ask some of these people, they're just adamantly against the fees and the business of auctioneering. Let's just call it the business of the auction houses. And they would rather just make a private sale. But New Mutants 98, first appearance of Deadpool. Some of you joke, no, it's I've already hit that note, but let me get in there very clearly. The first appearance of Gideon. it's $1 million. It's $1 million in the bank. And get ready to have your watch any haters get their panties all twisted when that happens. Because I don't believe I'm alone either. I'm going to segue here. Over the last decade, 8 years alone, not one of my 24 New Mutants or X-Force covers have come up for auction. They have not been bid. Somebody at WonderCon grabbed me and said, Liefeld, your art is going up. I said, no, let me correct you. My art is not available. My vintage, the vintage stuff, that $360,000 Wolverine interior page from the X-Men comes from the Extinction Agenda, the best work Jim ever did, the best X-Men story he ever did. The Todd stuff that's the most expensive is the vintage stuff. What am I telling you is going to sell for $1 million from Todd? Well, I'm telling you right now, it's that Hulk 340 cover. I mean, that thing's going for bank. That's, again, 1987 is, I believe it's a November 1987 book. Maybe it came out in, 1988. It doesn't really matter. I'm just trying to, it's not a 90s piece of art. A couple years back, Jim put his 5 covers up for of X-Men number one, and people who followed it, there was supposed to be a deal, then there wasn't a deal. Was there a deal? Did Jim get the art back? I don't know. That's all of those five covers are going for over $1 million at auction. Easy peasy. Probably $2 million. Those are five covers. That's not one single piece. They were released individually, so they would count for five different covers. But that puppy's up there. That puppy is going to do that amount. Now, is New Mutants 87 a possibility? It is. I won't guarantee it. I think it's up there. Not only is the first appearance of Cable, but is a combination of the Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane style that people know and love so much. Now, listen, again, I have heard people talk in the seven figures on these things. I am not going to get to the covers that you think are the big ticket items because you all have something different in your mind. But then you get to the auctions and you get kind of, you get to kind of settle and you get put in your place. You get the real perspective on what's going down. For many of us, just using a basis, for many of us, our favorite issue of X-Men, our favorite single issue that Jim Lee did along with Scott Williams is Uncanny X-Men 268. 3.5 years ago, this cover came up with Captain America, with Black Widow, with Wolverine. It is an iconic image. Many people thought it would exceed $500,000. It sold for, at the hammer, $300,000, no change, $300,000. So in your mind, you may think something is a certain price, but eventually it's going to go to market. Now, maybe this gets put back up, and maybe it goes to 5 or 6, and maybe it kicks to a million, maybe, but this is only 3.5 years ago. So I'm just telling you to temper your expectations. So Jim actually has a page of interior art that has done better than a iconic X-Men that we all love, because this gets down to you just never know. You just never know what is going to ignite the passion. What is going to ignite the passion of these fans? Now, many of you, your default second choice after the X-Men for Jim is Batman, and so you're wondering, well, what are the sale prices on that? I'm looking at an All-Star Batman Robin cover that sold in 2024 for $30,000. It's a great cover. I am looking at a Dark Knight 3 Master Race cover that sold for $25,000. I am looking at a Hush Batman 316 that sold 2 years ago for $137,000. So now you're talking. Then, and I believe this is Jim's biggest sale, the three covers, three different pieces of art. It was a triple gatefold cover, so three 11x17 pieces. The culmination of Hush, Jim Lee, Scott Williams, Batman 619, so a triple cover, sold for $504,000. So that is a big banger price. So if Todd's 340 went up, that's not a comp. It's one piece of art to three people. This Jim Lee, I mean, you're buying a cover plus a poster, and each cover, you know, there's the central one with Batman, and the second one is focused on Nightwing and those characters around him, and the final one is centered on Catwoman. So it's not a straight up comp because it's three, but it's a lot of money. That's $500,000. Now go back to what I told you a little while ago, an interior page, Silver Age, Iron Man, Don Heck, over $500,000. Okay, so the money, the pricing, the expectations, no one saw that Spider-Man page selling for $3 million. So the bottom line is that these covers are going to sell for a lot. You're like, and I know some of you are avid George Perez collectors. So am I. The George Perez DC covers do not outmatch some of these Marvel covers. And in fact, an Avengers covers, a beloved one, we covered this in the first $1 million pages, sold for in the $260,000, a 1977 Avengers cover. So when you're like, but the Death of Superman 6 and 7 and 8, the Crisis, sorry, Death of Supergirl. Those Crisis covers, you'll be surprised. They haven't scratched this surface. Now, maybe in the next few years, they will. Again, there's surprises around every corner. But the cover to Wolverine, number one by Frank Miller and Joe Rubenstein. I'm going to end this by telling you, I absolutely believe that is a candidate for the Million Dollar Club. Wolverine has resurged. Hugh Jackman, same as what I said with Robert Downey Jr., same with what I said with Deadpool, and it being 100%. Now it has a face. If you're buying a piece of Deadpool art, you're associating it with the performance of Ryan Reynolds. When you buy Iron Man, you're associating him with the performance of Robert Downey Jr. Hugh Jackman is the longest tenured comic book character that we have cinematically, and his return as Wolverine is electrifying everybody. So you're like, Liefeld, aren't you holding out an important one? Yes, let me also put that his first appearance, should that make it back to the field, the people who couldn't afford it the first time around are going to go for that in the biggest way. Yes, they are going to show up in droves for not only Hulk 181, but for Wolverine number one. I think we can safely put those, and there are some guys who are like, oh, it didn't sell anywhere near that the first time, because Hulk 181 has been has gone to auction. It did not. It's been passed around. If it shows up this time, you can. I'm going a million. Wolverine number one, possibly a million again. I am speculating here, and again, I'm trying to temper your expectations. You would think that Captain America, Black Widow, Wolverine, that iconic cover would go for $500,000. Okay, it did 300,000 3.5 years ago. I'm not sure we're getting that same boost. Art is crazy. Now you're like, but Liefeld, what about Alex Ross? What about him? Nothing that he has done as yet has hit these numbers. What a lot of these have in common are iconic imagery, sometimes first appearances, and they are driving the market. Are there great Steve Ditko splash pages? Great Fantastic Four, Jack Kirby splash pages, covers, if they were emerged, they would be locks. Yes, locks. Those are lost to the sands of time. Some debate if they exist in any way, shape, or form, if they were water damaged, if they were burned in a fire, if they were thrown away, shredded, because that's what was happening to that era of that art. So when you see a Steve Ditko Spider-Man, or when you see a really old Jack Kirby Fantastic Four page, especially a seminal one, it's gonna demand attention. So could we argue and say that there's $30 million pages? Yes, we can make that argument. For my case today, I'm speculating on stuff that I believe in the next 10 years is going to emerge and going to hit seven figures or above. And that is me playing the speculating game, the speculation market. And it's fun. It's fun. It's no different than when the catalog comes in, we huddle around it and we guess and we think. Now, cover to Secret War 7. Well, if the interior went for $3 million, is that not going for multiple millions? So let's throw that one. Let's throw that one into the hat, because certainly that is also a contention. You can't have a 3/4 splash page and not say, well, this cover is going to net somebody's attention. And again, it just comes down to people I really respect convince me. I keep saying seven. I apologize. It is Secret Wars number 8. Forgive me. Secret Wars number 8 with the symbiote. Yeah, that's up there. Let's go there. Let's do a million on that. See where this goes. I can't possibly bring all of them. I just wanted to bring you some of them. But I think that there are bronze $1 million bangers and above, and 90s $1 million bangers and above that are in the system. I can't possibly speculate on all of them, but what I did today was just turn your attention to some. You're gonna go and you're gonna discuss amongst yourselves, amongst your friends. You're gonna go in your own collection. You're gonna draw your own conclusions. Great. Again, this stuff lands and it's different. This stuff actually makes it to market and boom. Hey, New Mutants 98 could end up 600,000, 500,000, 400,000. Do I believe that? No. Could it happen? Yes. Time, date, guy being in front of his computer, engaged, ready to make that payment. It all matters. It all matters. But $1 million pages. There's more to come. I've exposed you to some key ones And the Burn Austins, those are locks. I believe Todd is a lock. I have been offered $7 million for 98. That's why I'm mentioning it as a lock. Secret Wars number 8. You know, just you can keep going. Wolverine number 1, Hulk 181. These are very highly sought after. And whoever is able to get them to market, maybe convince some of these people to do the business of the auction so that we can see the incredible action at the hammer, that would be fantastic. We would all be so up for that. I think some of these pieces, if they were to enter, would get the biggest audience possible, bigger than any of the other stuff that I've mentioned today, because of the resonance of this art, these pictures that just resonate with us so heavily. So, $1 million pages. Hope it sparks a discussion. Hope you enjoyed the discussion. I love the business of original art. I can't afford the lion's share of it. At some point, even when you can, you got to go, is that how I want to explain to everybody? I spent this. So something to consider. Talk amongst yourselves. The art of comics is exciting. You never know what you got in that drawer and how much it's gonna take off for. So we're gonna circle back, do more $1 million pages as the market demands. Maybe something that I haven't thought of. And I'm not trying to bang. Let me go back. I'm not trying to bang on George Perez. It just isn't consistent with the market. What you maybe think your favorite Perez, because he was one of my favorite artists too. Same with Jim Starlin. Same with Gil Kane. Same with Howard Chaykin. Same with Art Adams. But that doesn't mean that the art is going, it takes this combination of, like I said, historical significance and favor for the art, and then multipliers of how many people are going to view it with historical significance and have that fever and want to get it. So many factors happen. $1 million pages is a subject we're going to keep coming back to. I appreciate so much you listening to me give you the results of the recent auction and finish up our two-part episode. Looking forward to potential $1 million art in the future. So many of us love that our passion for comics comes with the collection component, that there is an aspect of it that you go, hey, that comic, like honestly, so many of mine, my original X-Men books that I bought for 35 cents, 40 cents, 60 cents, that those books are now hundreds and thousands of dollars. They're worth, you know, multiples of what I paid. I have hung on to all of my collection. I never did a giant, sale of my stuff. So it's fun, right? It's fun knowing that, hey, that Secret Wars 8, get it right, Rob, has gone up in value. That Secret Wars number 1, that Hulk, 340, that Hulk 181. Look, just in 2017, I bought a book that I had my eye on for a long time. I spent $2,000 on it. It was a mid-grade, but it was a number 1. It was an original, launch of the Marvel Universe edition, and I needed it. I wanted it, and I finally said, well, I can justify my head spending this much on this condition, and I got it. And I had Stan Lee sign it a few months later, and I had it sent in to CGC. It came back. It was a mid-grade. It's a 5.5, but at its peak, it was going for over $40,000. Now it's leveled off and it's in the, $35,000 range. But oh my gosh, what an incredible leap. And I didn't buy it thinking that it would jump that quickly, that high. I just figured, hey, it's time for me to have this in my collection. So whether it's art, whether it's comic books, it's just fun. It's part of our fun. And if you can buy more than one and get one in sequestered away, I don't have as many slabs. I mean, I have less than 100 books slabbed. I am not a big slabber. I have a lot of books in Mylars, double, triple boarded. I like putting those away. I like, taking care and curating my collection on my own. But occasionally we're going to dance on that side of the fence. Not always, but when the prices and the speculation is where it's at currently, whether it's art or comics, we're going to open it up. We're going to do it on the show. And I just love doing it with all of you and love that we can have this talk. And maybe you're not a Heritage Auction guy. Maybe you're going to check it out now, or Comic Connect or Comic Link or one of the mini auctions, because they have comic books too. as I said in the previous episode, $6 million comics sold. You're like, you're focusing too much on the art. Comic books are selling higher than the original art. So the pendulum is swinging all over the place. You guys know how much I appreciate you. I appreciate you hanging out and visiting with me and letting me visit with you. When this show is over, I'm always on social media. I am on both Twitter at Robert Liefeld, the whole name, R-O-B-E-R-T-L-I-E-F-E-L-D, at Robert Liefeld. I have a blue check that just signifies that I am the real deal, that I am verifiable, that when you speak to me, you know that you are speaking to Robert Liefeld. There's a lot of parody accounts. They're funny, but they're not me. They're not real. I enjoy our replies, our mentions, our DMs, all of the ways that we converse and talk about topics of the day, pop culture. I generally try and keep it light, try and keep it fun. And I just thank you for following me. I said Twitter, it's called X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, now X. So thanks for hanging out with me there. Over on Instagram, I'm at Rob Liefeld. I am showing you the latest images of what I'm drawing, the people I'm hanging with, the places I'm visiting, the work I'm doing. Follow me on Instagram at Rob Liefeld. I'd love to hang with you there. I answer the back and forth, the questions, the in the replies. Like somebody today, like this X-Men animated 97 number one cover that I did. It's going to be on my Whatnot show, Whatnot Con. I'm bringing up Instagram for this only. A guy said, hey, way to follow reference, man. You weren't paying attention. Storm has a mohawk in the cartoon. Fine, great. 4 months ago, every artist that did those covers were given reference by Marvel of what to follow and how to make the characters look. And we did that. So we followed the reference we were given. We had no idea that she was a mohawk. I was just given the long-haired Storm. I modeled. Again, you're asked to stay on model. And I did. So over there on Instagram, I was able to tell that guy, hey, man, I stuck with the models that they gave me. I didn't get into a fight. We didn't have a confrontation. I didn't say, hey, man. I just said, stuck with the reference that I was supplied with. So again, it's those kind of interaction on Instagram. I love having it. I love sharing with you guys so much. And follow me at Rob Liefeld. Another blue check signifies that it is really me, verifiable. Would love to see you over there on Instagram. We have a group on Facebook. It's so much fun. So many of the topics that we discuss here carry on there in long form. So much fun. It's called Rob Liefeld, Marvel Extreme and Beyond. Join our group, myself and a gentleman named Terry Sala, S-A-L-A. We will probably be the ones that click you on through. We have a great group, great vibes, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to discuss. Obviously, a lot of X-Men, a lot of Deadpool, a lot of stuff that I've been involved with my entire career. We are all about the positive vibes. We are all about keeping it light and fun and informative. And again, we always have a dedicated discussion page after each and every one of these episodes. So join us. Rob Liefeld, Marvel Extreme and Beyond is the name of the Facebook group. Submit your name. We'll get you on through, and we would love to see you there. Whatnot is an app. It is a state-of-the-art collectible app that is changing the world of collectibles, and not just that, fashion, sports. They have expanded into so many different areas. They are blowing up. I am in the comic book and the collectibles portion of the platform. If you get the Whatnot app, download it, and you search and follow me, Rob Liefeld, and look for my shows. I generally do two a week. We are doing WhatnotCon. Whatnot has supplied me with exclusive X-Men animated 97 number one red foils. Only the Rob Liefeld shows will have them. I'm going to have a weekend show. It kicks off Thursday night, but then we're going to circle back and we're going to save some stock for the Saturday show in case you want to participate on Saturday after hearing this weekend. And we're going to probably carry more exclusives over the duration of the next couple weeks, because we have so much stuff to share. I have all manner of exclusives and specials, but nothing is more special than the red foil X-Men variant. No other retailer will have them. They made them just for me. I am so honored. I am so literally humbled and excited to share these with you. It was something that Whatnot supplied only for me, the red foil. There's gold foil and there's silver foils, and those are chase books, but these red foils, they are fantastic. Whatnot went above and beyond. Marvel went above and beyond. I think the image that I created for the show really struck a nerve. I've heard from you. It is the most requested cover I've ever done. It's going to be our feature item, our feature edition, the red foil X-Men animated 97 number ones on Our Whatnot Con launch will be there Thursday. We'll be there Saturday. If we have to sneak a show in Sunday, maybe one on Friday, just keep listening. But you got to go to the Whatnot app and follow me. I have a brand new book, The Last Blood. Rob Liefeld's The Last Blood. I wrote it. I drew it. I inked it. My amazing color partners colored it up, Jay and Juan. And it's a great extension of the future of the Extreme Universe and how it shakes out, all the characters that I created. Issue 2 is about to launch. You're going to want to follow me there. We have Blood Wolf, Evangeline, Prophet, exclusives, New Mutants, Spider-Man, Captain America. We have had this incredible relationship with Whatnot, and it continues each and every show. So check us out. Get the Whatnot app. Download it. Follow Rob Liefeld. Be alerted when my shows go live. I am talking right into the screen. It is a live stream. You will see me. It is quite the distracting show. I got comments that are trying to distract me. Occasionally, we get a great troll. Their life in my feed is between 15 and 30 seconds because we root them out incredibly fast. They just want to distract and demean and insult in the same way that we've all stood up and said, we're not taking this bullying anymore. So occasionally, they find their way into the stream and then they immediately find their way out because, again, we want to keep it fun. We want to keep it fresh. But you'll see I'm trying to be on my best behavior. Join me on Whatnot, get the app, follow me, and let's have some great fun. CGC, we've mentioned them, the grading, what the culture calls the slabs. Hey, I'm doing my second signing with them. I'm doing my second signing with them, and I want very much for you to participate. Go to the CGC website, look for Rob Liefeld on the private in-house signing. Download the menu, see what's available. There are certain specialty items still available. Get those. Send them in so that I can have them when I'm there. It'll be my second ever. Last year was my first ever. Thousands and thousands of your books were signed and returned to you in great condition. They were returned to you in a timely manner. I know that was a concern that from other previous signings that were going on CGC, and we met that challenge. We got you your books. We turned them around. We got them to you quickly, and so many of you were so thrilled with the high grades. We can never guarantee any grades, but we do our very best to make sure that your books are handled in the best possible way. And you got to believe there are 5-6 people handling the books, pulling out of the box, handing to the guy who then presents it to me. I sign, pulls away, gives it to the second puller. That guy pulls it off the table, gives it to the other person who walks over and files it in the box. Then there's somebody who takes the boxes away when each short box gets filled. It's so fun. I can't wait to sign your stuff. Please send me your Youngblood, your Evangelines, your Prophets, your New Mutants, your Deadpools, your X-Forces, your Captain Americas, your Snake Eyes, whatever it is that you would desire for me to sign. CGC is the place to do it. Please go to the CGC website, download the menu, and get that stuff in. I want, can't wait actually to see what you're going to send me. The end of each and every show, we share the reviews that you share for our show, and you have been so ridiculously generous. And once again, I'm going to tell you, I'm so touched by the outpouring of love for Ed Piskor. Not for me, for Ed Piskor. Long may he rest in peace. What a sweet guy. Caught up in some terrible, terrible tragedy and a scandal that we covered on an episode where we celebrate his life. And we're not going to dwell on the elements that just caught him at a very weak moment. It's very sad, and we lost Ed. And so many of you sent in incredible comments, and they were logged as reviews for the show. And I'm going to share them now. This is from A. Richardson. He said, Ed Piskor tribute. This is not a review. This is a message to the compassionate, beautiful human being that is Rob Liefeld. Rob, you did not just scream into the void. You were heard. I heard you. I heard you all the way from the northern suburbs of St. Paul, Minnesota. And I made sure my wife heard you and my 14-year-old son heard you and my 11-year-old daughter heard you. And hopefully onward. I was sobbing alongside you in my kitchen while listening to your pleas for humanity to do better, to be better. This is about the Ed show, and I appreciate that he appreciated, but I just appreciate the compassion that you showed for me. You can tell that I don't always read through these before I read these. I didn't want this to be about me. I wanted this to be about Ed, but I appreciate that you appreciated the show we did in celebration of Ed A. Richardson. If I didn't scream into the void, and if you heard me, and if we can all be better to each other, then we're all going to be better going forward. That is 1,000% for certain. Thank you, A. Richardson. I read it, and I heard it, and I am so thankful. I'm going to read this one. It's called The Mensch with the Mouse. It's from J.H. 0000. I've been a fan of Liefeld since buying X-Force number one when I was 13. Not only did his art thrill me, but his enthusiasm for comics excited me. I read an interview of Comic Scene magazine with strange characters on the cover. I could tell Liefeld was the artist, but who were these characters? It was Youngblood. And inside the magazine, Liefeld whipped me into a frenzy with his plans for this new phenomenon. The interview had such an impact on me that I rebought the issue a few years ago, and just to read it again. This podcast is that interview, but even better, I've been wanting to express my appreciation for this podcast for a while, and his latest episode memorializing the great Ed Piskor moved me to say something positive. Uncle Rob spoke to the broken hearts of Piskor's fans when few others could and unlike anyone else could. I never thought I'd cry during a Rob Observations episode, but I did, and it helped ease the pain. Rob Liefeld not only has the gift of gab, but he's a mensch to the mensch with the mouth. Well, I sure appreciate it, and I'm sure that Ed's family appreciates it. I'm going to end with this one from Peter Morals. It says, thank you for the Ed Piskor tribute. Rob, your show is a regular part of my mental, spiritual, and creative nourishment. I'm a 90s kid. Your work has always been a part of my imaginative landscape. What you and your colleagues accomplished at Image Comics sparked my creative fire and continues to fuel it. Again, this is from Peter Morals or Morales. But Rob, I've never been a bigger fan of yours than I am now as a regular listener of the Rob Observations podcast. Thank you for the joy and perspective that you bring into my life on a regular basis. And most of all, thank you for your sincere and powerful tribute to Ed Piskor. Thank you, then all caps, thank you. I cried the entire show, especially at the end when I had to sit down to process emotions. I have been coping with Ed's loss the last week while dealing with all the usual struggles of life, and you're always sure to mention. Cartoonist, kayfabe was another of my regular sources of creative and spiritual nourishment. Your deeply emotional homage to Ed and his own work was a perfect rendering of my own feelings of grief. There's a big hole in our lives, but at least we have each other to fill it. One last time, thank you, Uncle Rob. Please keep your observations coming. Len Cody is the name that is signed, even though the call sign on the review is Peter Morals. Len Cody. Thank you, Len. Thank you to all of these shout outs of positivity for the show. Look, you know what? A retailer came up to me. I'm just going to give you my mindset. I don't need another compliment in my life. I'm just going to tell you it's nice that some of this stuff noticed. A retailer who is one of the last retailers I ever did a comic book show at. He came up to me at WonderCon. He said, you did my show in Arizona in 2021. I said, my store in Arizona. I said, I remember it was great. He goes, no, you were great. I'm like, come on. No, it was really fun. Thank you. He goes, no, Rob, I really was taken by the fact that you stood for 4 hours and you told the fans, I'm standing because you're standing. I don't want to sit and be relaxed when you're standing and uncomfortable. And you guys, that's the way I feel. And that's the way I process. I feel like a dipshit if I was sitting. And this isn't against anyone else who sits. You want to sit, sit. If you need to sit, sit. This isn't about if you're not standing, you're not doing it right. No, for me, who I am, my being. Because sometimes people take some time and there's time to undo the books and you don't want to get the tape to rip on the actual comic books. You want to take as great care and you want people not to feel pressured and to have their time to pick whatever books they want to have signed and whatever extra features they want to have added on. So it takes time, and I want you to know that I feel it. I know you're standing there. You have things to do. I want you to know that I am not going to sit and goof off. I'm going to stand at attention along with you to respect the fact that you're standing. And what I'm telling you here is I'm feeling you in the exact same way you're feeling what's going on. And I do so appreciate the kind words. But we have experienced a giant loss as a community. It's you know, middle of the week. Ed Piskor has been gone 11 days. I'm not over it. I'm not okay. But I know Ed would want us to carry on. Ed Piskor would not want us to wallow. Ed Piskor would want us to get on and keep going on, keep moving on, okay? And I really do believe that with every balance of my mind, body, and soul. I know that Ed does not want us to wallow. He wants us to get up. He wants us to move forward. We can celebrate him through his work, but his parents have still lost a child, and his siblings lost a brother. and so many other family members. And that's what I wanted to really recognize when I mentioned last episode, like, I'm looking forward to a new week, a refreshing outlook after that shit week, that shit show was that week. But then it realized, no, it's not a new beginning for a lot of people. There's going to be sorrow and there's going to be feelings of loss, and we're going to be processing this together. The more I revisit Ed's work, the more smiles I have on my face. And his hip hop persona, he was a kid that grew up talking the way he talked. Don't even get me started on the people who are saying that he's, you know, abusing appropriation. I'm not here for it. Ed was genuine. He was real. He was fun. He is still missed. We're going to talk about him because, hey, like I said, I worked with him. He inked over me. He drew pages for Brigade and Prophet and Major X. We had a professional relationship that went beyond just, hey, dude, what's up? Hey, dude, what's up? Many knew him better than I. Many knew him far better than I did. But that doesn't mean that I can't appreciate him just as much as the person that appreciates him the most. So we're going to continue to celebrate him, lift him up, and talk about him in the very best possible way, and continue to sell his work. If you could, so many of you told me, you went out and you bought those books in the hopes that those royalties find their way to his family. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Buy Ed Piskor stuff. Buy stuff that's going to make its way to its family. Fantagraphics, Marvel, let's get that money where it belongs, to the Piskor family, okay? Thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for giving a care. Thanks for liking comics. Thanks for liking the fact that I like talking about comics. Even if you hate listen, I appreciate you. Even if you hate listen, I appreciate you. Thank you for hate listening. And even if you hate listen, I hope you're doing okay. I hope your mental and spiritual and physical and emotional being, well-being, is where you need it to be. And if not, get off the grind. Take the day to get off the grind. Watch a TV show. Go out with your friends. Go to the beach. Have a great cheat meal. Have two cheat meals. Have lots of candy. Have cake. That's what I do. Sweet treats, baby. It turns the day around, even for 90 seconds. That extra tingle. Woo! I have a cupcake fetish that I haven't really gotten into on the show, but I'm not going to right now. I'm going to keep it with what I have every day. The big cup, the caramel, the chips, the Cocoa Puffs, the pretzels. Such an amazing aggression that they have put forth on these big cups. I love them so, so, so very much. That's one of my indulgences every day, to just kind of get that sweet tooth, stave off that dentist. You know, I'm not here. I'm promoting your spiritual health and your physical health. I'm kind of telling you to eat badly, but just once a day, right? Just get off the treadmill of life, the grind. Take a day, be with friends, read a great book, read a great comic book, watch a great show, catch up on that streaming show, go to that movie that you've been putting off. Just do it and find renewed inspiration and distraction. So much of it is distracting because, let's face it, the world is getting more difficult. I've been alive 56 years. It is harder now than it was then. And I saw my parents struggle because we were poor. A pastor's salary didn't go far. My mom worked full time. We were the blue collar family, but I just don't remember it being this crazy. And I went with my dad in the Carter years. That's how I'll describe it. Those 70s where the gas prices were crazy and you sat in the Buick hoping that there would be gas to pump into your car 45 minutes after you've gotten in line. And they had people, you know, coordinating those lines and pulling you in. I was with my dad in the Buick, and we were hoping. And one time we did get there and they turned us away all out of gas, and we barely had any gas in the car. So yeah, that's crazy. But I see people who I know, we have friends who are struggling, financially struggling. It's affecting their marriage. It's affecting their relationship with their kids. And it's terrible. So it's real. It's out there. And so let's band together. Let's cheer each other on. And all I can do from here is tell you, I care for you. I am lifting you up. I hope you're doing well. I hope when I see you at a show, when I get back out to shows, because right now I'm not really going to shows, but I hope when I see you that you got a smile and that things are doing well for you. And that is my wish for you. Boom, boom, boom. I just tapped another. Let me do three more. Boom, boom. Into the Blue Yeti mic, the fist bump. Wishing you all the best. Take care of yourself. Please don't leave me here. You know I get freaked at the end of the show. You're never coming back. Come back and find me. I'll be right here. We will absolutely, most definitely, inevitably talk again real soon.
Thank you.